Testing, testing.
So if you need that, let me know.
Okay. Good evening and welcome to the Planning and Zoning Board meeting for Tequesta, Florida. It is now in order and it is 5:30 p.m. on August 21st, 2025. Meg, will you do roll call, please?
Leslie Dasher?
Here.
Teresa Maggio?
Here.
Elizabeth Schauer?
Here.
Sherry Ambrose?
Here.
Steve Mickledowney?
Here.
Marisa Theory?
Here.
Jared Gaylord? Fred? Who's
here?
Okay. Okay, and have you all had a chance to look at the agenda?
Yes. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. And onto the approval of the meeting minutes, the previous meeting minutes of July 17, 2025. Has everybody had a chance to review that?
Yes.
And any changes or? Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of July 17th, 2025.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, so we're on to agenda item number two. Did you?
Thanks, Chair. Before we call our next item, we have two applications. These are quasi-judicial applications. Therefore, if there's anyone present here this evening who plans to give testimony regarding items number two or three, I need to swear you in at this time. Okay. So if you are here to provide any testimony regarding items two or three, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm under penalties of perjury in the laws of the state of Florida to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes. Very good.
Yes.
You may be seated. Thank you very much.
Are we going to do the village one first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so on to agenda item number two, SPM 05-25, application by Village of Tequesta for a site plan modification for exterior and site modifications on an existing 3,069 square foot building located in the R1 residential zoning district. The property will continue to be used as an office and storage space for the village. Property is situated at 465 Seabrook Road, Tequesta, Florida, 33469. And Jay, are you doing this?
So, thank you, Chair. Jay Hupch, Community Development Director, presenting the Station 11 site plan modification. So you may be familiar with this property. It is the former fire station in Tequesta. It is zoned R1. It's between our recreation center and New Remembrance Park. It requires a site plan modification for section 2253A. In this case, you'll be providing a recommendation to council. The total cost of this exceeds $50,000, so it's above the threshold of projects you can approve. Here's the current condition, pretty dated. It's currently used for storage and overflow office usage. Due to overcrowding at Village Hall, the building department is seeking to move the code enforcement department and some building inspectors over there. The police department is also gonna be doing some work there and using it as kind of like overflow space, storage space, maybe even some training in some of those big open bays. Here's the proposed architecture. This was a rendering that was done by an architect that our building official, Wayne Cameron, who's here, reached out to. He's the one kind of spearheading this project. I'm going to show you a couple different options we have here. So this is the architecture he got with a standing seam metal roof with a new exterior color, which is a white. New color on the roll-up doors. And new decorative stone. So we do have some samples of the decorative stone here that can be passed around. Meg, if you want to pass around. It's kind of heavy, so enjoy. Get a little workout in. And after looking at those renderings, we kind of had some internal discussions that maybe it makes a little more sense to kind of mirror the Tequesta Recreation Center. This building seems to be pretty beloved in the village. I think it looks great. So we've What I'm going to propose here is that we consider using this Sherwin-Williams blue blood color, which is the prominent color here in the shutters, on those roll-up doors. The Sherwin-Williams blue blood, which we're recommending consideration of for those roll-up doors now. The paint color it's a snowbound from Sherwin-Williams, and then the standing seam metal roof is a gray. So we could use a very similar standing seam metal roof color and incorporate that Sherwin-Williams blue into those roll-up doors. Criteria for review, harmony with other buildings. Again, what we're proposing would be hopefully harmonious with the rec center, harmony with surroundings, the facades, methods of harmonious design, inappropriate building styles, garish design, exterior forms, and use of symbolic color. So all the same standards you typically look at for site plan modifications related to architecture. The building official, Wayne Cameron, is here. If you have any questions for him, I'm also happy to answer any you have as well. One thing I also forgot to mention, the landscaping out there is a little bit shabby. I think everyone's nodding their head on that one. It's a little shabby. We are considering enhancing that during this process as well. It's not part of today's application, but I think we're gonna try and work with the Village Council to hopefully enhance that a little bit. That's it.
Okay, and do we have any questions for Mr. Cameron? Or
I do.
Okay, Mr. Cameron, can you come and state your name and address for the record, please, and answer any questions?
Wayne Cameron, building official, Village of Tequesta.
Thank you.
All right, can I have the floor?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I have several. I know Rick Gomez. I've seen some of his work previously because I'm one of the original member. I am the only original member sitting on this board. There's not a lot of little detail that I'm used to having, especially when it's an application from the Village of Tequesta. So I don't know if this was put together very quickly, but I do have several questions. The double doors, okay, I was thinking of doing it like as one great big door, but then I'm thinking, no, you can't, because after I keep driving past it, I don't do it purposely, but every time I pass, since I got the packet, I'm looking. The two doors have to stay. I was going to suggest to do one door, but the two doors have to stay. My suggestion is to take the color of those doors and make them the same blue that is the Sherwin-Williams blood that we have on the community center building. And then the other thing that I was thinking of is to put some type of trim, because I can't tell from the detail of here, and they usually give you more of a detail in the renderings of around the doors if there's molding or anything, and if you're going to have, you should have some type of mold. I'm being critical. It's only because it's the Village of Tequesta. We have a reputation throughout the county of being very hard-boiled. And this is a village project. And I just feel that it should be superior and that we should be setting a precedent here, because we're asking the community, business owners, as well as residents, to have top-notch buildings and appearance. And I think this building hasn't been touched in years, that if we're doing this, it's got to be done right. And I don't know how everybody else, but to have trim around the doors and to have trim that, could we go back to the community center? It's hardy plank, but to have some type of trim and then possibly give it the brown color that we have on the top to make it pop out. I mean, an architect can possibly give you that, but it's just, I don't know. I think by changing it to the blue, I wish I had like a computer program, and your landscaping. I would like to have landscaping in the front too. The landscaping that we do in the area in the front as you're pulling into the drive should be outstanding.
And they're going to work on that.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just telling him that, you know, what I'm looking for, that it should really be something that would stand out, because we're being so hard on the community and business owners that I think that we should just really stand out.
Can I ask?
Thank you.
When you're saying window trim, do you mean like the blue over the framed windows, or do you mean like the
Well, they
the
could
top
do that, or you can just put a frame, put a trim. I mean, it's like, I looked at the windows. They're like, it just,
they're plain. They don't have the inset framing that
right.
they have. Yeah.
But it you need something to make it stand out.
I was just curious.
Sorry. I mean, it needs to be touched up. I'm finished. Sorry. I'm not sorry, but.
We're upset.
Regarding the trim, while I agree it could add a little zip to it, something, but I can see where the doors, they're very close to the edges. There wouldn't be room for a trim.
No, they can't do the trim.
You do have a stucco band option that can be used to enhance some of this. Second point is that those windows, as it's not flush, they're recessed.
Right, they're recessed, right.
They're recessed.
So you couldn't do it.
So you could put a stucco band on the face of the building if that's what the desire is.
Yeah, it'd be hard to put a trim on those doors because they're kind of...
Well, even if...
There's no room
you
for
can
it.
Even
yes,
put
there's
the
no
blue trim.
There's no room for it. At the windows and doors themselves.
Put the blue trim.
It.
Make it dry. Dress it up. Dress the building up.
You can have an awning, if you wish, in the front of it, like you have on the community center building.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
an option.
Do that. That would even be better than putting that. I mean,
that's
I think...
That's an option. The Bohemian shutters, I mean...
Yeah.
We're open to suggestions.
But I can see there's not a lot of room for trim.
There's not a lot of room.
Yeah.
Well, no,
and
but I
the
mean,
second thing is that
the
goal here was to make it a lot more aesthetically pleasing. That's what this was currently existed. So
it's a wonderful
I'm agreement with the colors. That's not a problem. We can very much have those colors on the shutters to correlate to the rec center, as well as have the roofing be the silver gray. That's also, samples are there for that if that's what you would like. That's doable.
I think it's hard without the renderings to tell, right? Because so for example, when you look at the community center, it almost seems like maybe doing the doors in the brown color and then using the blue over the inset windows in some way, or incorporating the blue more around the roof line. It feels like you could use those colors in some way, but it's hard to visualize what the best combination is from what we have here. I mean, anything is better than how it looks now because it looks semi-abandoned at this point.
Right.
But it would be nice to borrow some of those design elements if it's economically feasible to do that.
And then this is going to be more like a mansard roof? Versus,
yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Cameron? I guess we're not yet. I guess we're done, Mr. Cameron. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we can open to public comments. You'll state your name and full address. For
yep. Maria Superi, I live in the Country Club. I fully support renovating this building, and I'm looking forward to seeing this project come to fruition. But I have four recommendations in addition to the color change for the garage doors, which I would advocate should be the blue from the rec center, in order to help the building blend in harmoniously with the surrounding neighborhood. Gray is not a good color for a coastal village. I do strongly think the doors should be blue, or we should incorporate that in some way. Note that we had a similar issue with Countyland Plaza. They had originally proposed a gray color scheme, which was not good. And now they have a much lighter color scheme with blue accents, which looks a lot better. My three additional recommendations are, first, the windows should much more closely mirror the ones in the rec center. Specifically, they should have black muntins and not be single sheets of glass. This is very important because, like Liz just said, Tequesta is a village, and we should not have large blank expanses of glass in buildings because they look really cold, empty, and terrible. The village's buildings need to set the example. I fully agree with that point. Add muntins here, and the building will fit much more seamlessly into our beautiful small coastal community. Second, I think that the entrance needs an entrance because I'm not actually sure which door is the front door on this building. Is it the one on the south side or the north side? Because it looks like it's full.
There's two different.
Right, okay. All right, so that to that point, I know there is currently one on the doors, but those look like they're going to be solid windows at this point, but perhaps I...
There are two doors.
They need muttons on them. And we also need to make sure that we denote the entrances as entrances, because these look like windows in the renderings we have. So there needs to be something that visually says this is the front door. One possibility would be to put a little bit, to build out a little bit with pillars and an attractive overhang, sort of mimicking what's happening in the front entrance to the rec center. Not exactly, but something that gives, that ties those two together, possibly with planters and flowers in front, or perhaps some sort of framing on the outer wall outside the front door, because right now this building doesn't have any of that. And an obvious front entrance would also help draw the eye away from the garage doors, which would be a big help from an aesthetic perspective. As if the intention is that both are front doors, then they both need to present to the street as front doors too. Third, if the front door is, I think one of them should be a main front door, or is that not the intention?
There
are going to be two different offices?
Yes, you read the thing.
Fine. So they both need to present as front doors. Now they kind of look like windows, at least from that rendering. Fourth, the landscaping needs a lot of improvement with native trees and plants.
We're not considering the landscaping.
Yeah, but I would like that on the record for when the council goes forward, especially in terms of budgeting for this project. I think that's an important improvement here. And I think that those changes would help blend everything into the neighborhood.
Okay, other public comments? Closing the floor to public comments. Any more board comments? And yes, I'm assuming that there's going to be writing on the doors as to building department and police department. And
also, if you want to consider, if you want to bring back up the slide again, please, or the proposed structure, the facade rather. Right above the garage bay, there's a nice, that big white area, Village of Tequesta, if that's your desire. Right above the garage doors themselves, to identify. That's an option.
Okay. I didn't hear what you said.
That's an option, right above, you have the white. You've got quite a bit of white opening that's available to you right above the garage bay.
So if
you want to put Village of Tequesta, there's enough space for it if you'd like.
Like what's on the community center, it has the logo. What did staff say when you guys got this? I'm really curious.
Well, you read the comments here. There was that's why I think this was done kind of quickly, because I've been sitting here for a very long time, and I've never seen anything come from the village like this. And I'm sorry, but
I'm sure there's more because it's not showing the layout of the offices and everything.
We should be getting everything, I like his idea of having it as that everybody knows that it's a village building, because you're not going to see the little signs unless you do a standalone sign in the front, and we're not going to do that right now. So. But,
I like that idea with the logo and
with the logo on the top of the building.
That would be good.
My concern is I think we have a lot of thoughts, and we're not going to have renderings, so it's hard to approve anything tonight when we have so many thoughts about different ideas to be considered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Remember, it is a recommendation to council.
Yes, understood. But even to make a recommendation,
I can be specific. And then if you want to add on to it, are you ready?
So you guys all think blue doors is what you're saying?
I don't.
I'm not sure about blue doors.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I think that would
I'd like a blue roof. I think
I'd like to see the renderings. You could give a recommendation that's so vague that council needs to give them a recommendation, but I don't know.
I think the blue doors would make it stand out. When you drive it, well, you drive by it all the time,
multiple times a day.
I mean, it would make the building kind of like stand out a little bit. I mean, anything is better than what we'll look at, the piece of crap that we'll look at.
I agree with that.
Can I consult with Wayne real quick?
Yeah.
Can I get a 1 minute recess? Thank you.
But they're not like ready to start on this because there's no.
It's not my shoulder, it's hers. I have the knee problems.
Listen, you get to a certain age, everything hurts.
Your body. I am so sorry.
These wheels, we could have just wheeled.
I was wondering.
Next time,
I was
wondering on a dolly.
So after talking to Wayne, we could, if you wanted to, defer it tonight to the next meeting and work on getting some renderings based on the ideas that you liked. So we've got budgetary constraints, right? This isn't a big money project. So I don't want to commit to doing a ton of renderings, but we could probably come back with maybe two options. So if you could give us an idea of those two options, my suggestion would be one with the blue doors, and then I think someone mentioned one with brown doors. I think there's talk of seeing what it would look like with the blue shutters. So give us some guidance for what you'd like to see in those renderings, and we can bring it back next month.
Well, depending where the blue shutters are supposed to go, blue shutters above blue garage doors, I think, is too much.
Yeah, it would have to be like this. It would have to be brown with the shutter. If you look at the village,
yeah, and I just don't see if they're not going to move these doors. There is no room for trim because they're recessed and. You know, you just can't put like two sides of a trim. That just wouldn't. That would look.
That's not gonna work.
Cheap. Yeah. And
or. You could leave the windows.
No, I think the windows are staying. Just
the windows
or the doors.
And not put any trim around it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what he suggested was, and I think that would dress it up, is to put the Village of Tequesta logo on the top with. The Village of Tequesta, whatever you're going to call that building, Tequesta
Annex, possibly. I think we're going to call it the Annex.
Okay.
It's what?
The Annex.
Oh, okay.
Well, and then this is where we would go if we wanted a building permit.
And yeah.
No, you can still come here. That's going to be. It's going to be for.
Oh, just the office.
Inspectors and code enforcement.
I got
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay.
That's funny, given the state of the building right now.
They're going to report on themselves.
So we as the public.
I would like the building inspector to come to my neighborhood.
Still be this is just for, as he said, annex, not the public would never go to this building.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. So it's definitely one with a blue door and one with not a blue door.
All right, yeah, give us, but I have a question. This whole thing, is this within your budget? I mean, you can't do anything better. I'm just asking. Is this the maximum of the amount of money?
I also want to say Wayne is using building department funds for this, so it's not coming from the general fund.
Okay.
It's coming from police and building fund. But just to clarify.
Well, he's probably got a lot more money than we do, so go ahead, honey.
In in an effort to be frugal, responsible, want to keep reserves in place to make sure that we can sustain ourselves. So fiscal responsibility is important.
Well, I know, but I just, you know, I mean, you know, we're supposed to be.
I'm open to suggestions so that we can come back with what the thoughts are in terms of enhancing this building. What you have here is just a basic improvement from what currently exists.
It's basic, that's for sure.
But it's an improvement from what exists
right now.
So given that, if you want to look at the other side in case we forgot where we're coming from.
We don't want to go.
Before and after. So we want to do something here. But no, it can be improved, and that's why you want to screen the mechanical equipment from view, so you've got a mastered roof. So all these things are taken into consideration. The mullions, as you refer to on the windows, making it there, that's not a problem as well. So all that stuff can be done. The problem that we want to do is that you still want to make sure that anything that's done still balances out the building itself. Mm-hmm. That's really it. So we're hoping. So please.
Can I say something? I just don't think we're trying to create a village country store I think simple and tasteful, the muntins on windows helps. I don't think we need, bright, bright blue trim everywhere.
Once you landscape, this will look nice.
If we were creating a restaurant or something, that would be very different, but.
What's it? It's for work.
It's for work, yeah. And simple and tasteful, I think, is.
Yeah, but you're also going to have, if it's the building department, you're also going to be having people come to see you.
The building department is still here.
Oh.
This is the customer service is still here.
Oh, it's just, it's the workers.
For staff.
Yeah, well, they deserve to look at a good building. I'm sorry. Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we're moving in that direction.
Good job.
All right.
Okay, so.
Windows, we're not going to have them.
The doors.
The doors are going to be.
They're doors.
Well, I'm not. Blue and gray. Okay. All right. Let me try. Okay. Everybody ready?
Okay.
Want to take notes here? Mm-hmm. Okay. Number one, garage doors. Give us two variations, one of the blue that you've got down the street. Or another color, which is amenable? Anything but blue. You can kind of think. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sorry, I'm not trying. Okay, I'm not being nasty, you understand that. Okay, the other thing is the signage on the top of the building. I liked what you said. And to do that, kind of the same way as the community center is, but the other thing that Marie had said is signage by the doors as at the entrance, that there's entrance signs on by the doors telling everybody that this is the building department, and then this is one side is the conference room and the other side is where the people work.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be signs on the door, but the public won't be going there.
You don't? Well,
so it's
you'd be surprised. And then, if you have brown windows here, so if the trim is brown, then that would be okay. So, and now are the windows hurricane proof? That's my next question.
It will be.
Okay. All right. That's. Does anybody else have any suggestions?
Yeah,
now that I've taken everybody's time for that's my. And then we can table it, for you guys to come back. Yeah, I'll make a motion to table with my suggestions. Coming back. How's that?
Okay, all in favor to table?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes then.
Sorry, gentlemen. I'm usually not that critical, but get used to me.
Thank you.
Hmm?
Are you
Okay, so we are ready to move on to SPM 04-25, application from 2GHO on behalf of the owner, JIB Club Marine, for a site plan modification to add second floor office space to an existing building located in the R3 residential zoning district. The property is situated at 46 Beach Road, Tequesta, Florida.
Board members, at this time, I'll ask to disclose any ex parte communications or any other disclosures you have regarding this application.
None.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and Meg.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you. As Ms. Leslie pointed out, we are here to look at the site plan modification for JIB Club. They are located in the R3. The history of this project, they were annexed into the village in 1979. During that annexation, there was a declaration of restrictions. It imposes a 5-story height restriction and a building maximum height of 55 feet. What the applicant has brought forth complies with both of those features. When it was annexed into the village, it was as a special exception use. So that's how Marina got there. In December of 24, a conceptual presentation was brought to Village Council. During that time, they went over some of the items that the applicant would be providing, but mostly they talked about the parking issues, current, previous, future. There wasn't really any reported. Community outreach and neighboring feedback, and the zoning text amendment and future application of proposed changes. So site plan modification 0425, it aims to add 921 square feet and provide a second story office storage space ancillary to the marina use. Included in the second story is a kitchenette and bathroom for the office use. The applicant has specifically stated that this will not be a function room, a banquet, or a party room. PZB is going to be reviewing the site plan modification for Planning and Zoning Board is going to be reviewing the site plan modification. Village Council will be providing the final decision on zoning text amendment, special exception use, and the site plan modification. So the special exception use, because there's going to be an increase in the square footage of the special exception, that's why it needs to go back to the Village Council. But you guys don't need to focus on that. We're going to focus on the site plan modification. And the zoning text. Zoning text amendment is because making modifications to this project brings to light the legal nonconformities that are already on the site. So this will resolve that. You guys as the LPA will review that, and we can get into that more later.
Okay.
All right, Development Review Committee did meet, included attendees from Tequesta Police, Fire, Building Utilities, Community Development. Discussion, again, was about the second story use, capacity, and kitchenette. So here is the current site if you are standing on the southern property line looking north. Not much to see. And if you are on the southern property line looking south at the surrounding residential. Here's the overhead. The yellow indicates the location of proposed work. So elevation details, the applicant is coming forward with Bahamian shutters, a metal seam roof, stucco columns, horizontal siding, and impact aluminum windows. And again, please note that these images are not the colors that are.
Okay.
Here is your northern elevation. So if you were on the waterway. Southern elevation. And your east and west. Here is the surrounding area. Got JIB Club and residential. So proposed landscaping modifications. There is no change to the pervious or impervious on this site. The applicant's coming forward. They would like to put in an 8-foot triple foxtail palm and about 23 gallons of the red tip cocoa plums. They've also called out that any gaps or missing vegetation will be infilled with the same species. Conditions, second story room shall not be used for banquets. It's already been established, but they would have to go through any sort of process as outlined in 78561. And all mechanical equipment needs to be screened as outlined in 78299. All right, so this is you guys, the elements of site plan review. You're going to be looking for harmony with other buildings, the harmony with the surroundings, facades, methods of design, inappropriate building styles, garish design, exterior forms, and the use of symbolic colors. Thank you very much.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Meg?
I just have one quick. The bottom, the first floor, is that concrete block?
Say it again?
The first floor, is that concrete block?
No.
It's not.
Okay.
Isn't that unusual when you're on the water?
I don't know. I own Blown Rocks, Marina. None of that was concrete.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you.
What is it?
It's wood frame with
wood frame.
Cement hardy board siding.
Okay. I can't complain. I have a wood frame house with hardy board, so.
Okay.
For some reason, you know, I thought it was like concrete block because you're on the water because washing away. Okay.
Okay, Meg, do you want to pass it over to the applicant and then we'll open up for questions?
Mr. Holloway, if you'll state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening, Troy Holloway with 2GHO. I'm here tonight also, if you just spoke with John Kriska, who is the owner and operator of the marina as well. So he's here to answer any questions you might have when we're finished. A lot of the stuff Meg has already gone over, but I'll quickly pass over it. We're here tonight requesting site plan approval for a very minor expansion to the existing Jib Yacht Club and Marina for a 921 square foot second story addition for a manager's office and storage for miscellaneous marina supplies and equipment. We're also requesting a zoning text amendment to decrease the parking requirements for marina uses. And as mentioned, the property has been here a long time, so it does contain a couple of existing legal nonconformities related to parking and some open space requirements that we need to just get approved with the plan as well. This is the project location, again, it's right here on the south side of Beach Road, outlined in the red, the existing marina, and it's actually inside. It's not part of the Jupiter Inlet Colony, but you have to go in the entrance to get to the marina. Just some stuff about the Jib Club. This is a photo here, it's a pretty old photo. It's been around since around 1960, that is the Cato's Bridge there. Nice wooden bridge. It's pretty cool picture there.
Oh my.
The Jib Club does offer equity memberships, condominium ownership, slip rentals, fueling services, and other assorted services as well. The property does contain a ship store, restrooms, pool, and a laundry facility. And it's the only marina currently located on Jupiter Island and within the village of Tequesta. Meg kind of covered some of the history. You know, we did present a conceptual presentation to council in December of 24. Following the site plan preparation, we did send informational letters along with the site plan to those four abutting residences who would be most affected by any changes or modifications to the marina. We sent those letters out on January 6th. We did not hear anything back from those folks. We also provided, we did a presentation at the town of Jupiter Inlet Colony to the commissioners and residents on January 13th. There were really no negative comments. The only concern was just to make sure the south side of the building looked good and there's no large windows kind of facing down on those single family homes. And then we made our initial submittal in January 21st of this year. This is the site plan. It's not much of a site plan because it's an existing marina, and we're not changing anything on the ground. We're not adding any parking spaces, no sidewalks, no slips. Nothing at all changes, nothing around the pool at all. Only thing we're doing is adding a second story addition above the ship store itself. This is a little snippet from the site plan. The yellow area, again, that's the second story addition above the ship store. The total area of the site is 1.6 acres. The total amount of buildings on the site, the square footage is 1,108 square feet. We're just adding the 921 square feet above it. Gives you a total building area of 2,029 square feet. The existing and proposed open space is 19.2%. We're not changing that at all. 30% is required, but again, this site's been here for a long time, so I don't know if there was even a code at that time. Parking spaces provided are currently 24. Per the current code, there would be 47 spaces required. The existing building lot coverage is 4.1%. We've just increased that to 4.6 with a little balcony, some eaves, and then with the building above. The proposed addition will provide 921 square feet of second story office space. It will also provide a west-facing balcony to overlook the fueling station and the marina itself. It provides a much needed private office space for the marina, for the daily marina operations. It also will have a small kitchenette space, private bathroom, and storage for the miscellaneous marina supplies and equipment. It'll also help open up some retail space for additional retail items in the ship store. And as mentioned, it will not function as a bar or a party room. That was kind of a concern, I think, at the conceptual review as well. Fueling is their main business at the Jib Club. The marina does contain no liveaboards or charter boats. There's only one employee that manages the facility every day. There's no alcoholic beverages are served inside or outside of the ship store. However, you can buy drinks and food. It can be purchased in the ship store. Outside boat services personnel typically provide service to one vessel there per week, so there's not service personnel there every single day. And the 29 existing slips there are seasonal, and they're only full during the peak season of the year. These are some more shots of the existing building. The top left, the southwest building corner, that's kind of what you see facing south. A little ice machine, some cooler. There's a refrigeration unit there, and some outdoor, screened outdoor kind of storage where they store some things. Again, kind of the same view of the southeast building corner. The two at the bottom, that's the building, the existing ship store facing the marina itself. And the west building elevation, as you can see on the west side of the ship store, there's kind of an outdoor seating area where people can sit outside and eat a sandwich or have a drink, you know, that they bought inside the ship store. This is what's going on inside. The ship store is very small, 398 square feet. As you can see, there's not a whole lot of space. There's no restroom in there. There's no office. It's just very, very limited amount of ability to have many retail items. But that is, they sell a assorted variety of things, ice cream, some snacks, fishing lures, and boat maintenance supplies as well. The big issue is, you know, that is basically the current office workspace they have to deal with. They got some filing cabinets, and it's very difficult for them to do daily office work, you know, counting their office till as people are shopping in the stores. It's kind of tough. These are the proposed architectural elevations. Again, on the bottom, the only difference, the only change would be the paint color of the building itself. At the bottom would have no changes at all. So the top is the top left is the west elevation facing the intercoastal. Has a little balcony. The one on the right there is the east elevation. Then we have the bottom left is the north elevation facing the marina, and then the south elevation would be the elevation facing the residential. This would have, as your building you just looked at, would have standing seam metal roof, silver gray. This one has black decorative Bahama shutters, although John loved the blue, so he'd be willing to go to blue if you like the blue. Blue blood is really pretty. And of course, you have the balcony, horizontal stucco siding, and then the only real change you'll see from the first floor elevation are the stairs going up to this office space. So this is the existing ship store, and then this would be what it would look like with the second story above it. And it would have the columns, so you'd mentioned as far as what it's, the first floor is constructed. I mean, it's not really, the first floor is not supporting it. Mm-hmm. Those columns would be doing all the support. And then again, this is what it looks like currently from the south side. This is what it would be with the second floor above it. Kind of does kind of help pull it all together. Right now there's a lot of little things happening. It does have a nice feel. Also, I just want to point out the south-facing windows, those Bohemian shutters only open a very little bit, or they may not open at all, so there wouldn't be no views to those south-facing single-family homes.
And those are the ones that are facing the residence?
Facing, yes. Okay.
Except for the one that faces my living room. I'm north.
Okay. The existing 29 slips of the marina, they currently require 44 spaces with the village code, which is 1.5 spaces per slip. Tequesta's parking ratio for marinas doesn't really align with actual demands for marinas, and it's not really consistent or compatible with nearby municipalities. So this is one of the things we talked about during conceptual review with council in looking at other surrounding municipalities and what they require. At the top of the list, so here we have Tequesta, which requires 44 slips. I'm kind of jump down to Jupiter is one space per slip, which would be 29 spaces. Then we have Palm Beach Shores, which is 0.75 spaces per slip, which would be 22 spaces. And then kind of on the extreme side, we've got Martin County and Stewart, which is one space per five slips, which would only equate to six spaces required for this. The bottom three is kind of what we kind of looking at, which is kind of in the middle, kind of the average, which is one space per two wet slips, which would be 15 spaces. And that's for North Palm Beach, Riviera Beach, and West Palm Beach, which all have plenty of marinas, have a lot of experience with this, and no parking issues with that. So that's what we have kind of are recommending, is going with that code requirement. In order to rectify the existing parking nonconformity and the deficit, we've proposed a zoning text amendment to reduce the marina parking to be more consistent with those municipalities. As I mentioned, the village code does allow for the ability to request a reduction of the required on-site parking. So the current text, the way it reads, is 1.5 spaces per slip. We're proposing one for every two boat slips. And it was also discussed to kind of address charter services should they happen. So we've also added in there parking spaces for charter services shall consist of three parking spaces for each passenger carrying vessel with less than six passengers and one parking space for every two passengers on vessels with more than six passengers. So we work with staff on trying to craft some language to address that should that need ever come up, which is not being done there today. This text amendment will not create any negative scenarios, as all of the R2 or R3 parcels, which do allow for marinas, are contiguous to the intercoastal waterway and would have to receive a special exception use approval. It's not a use by right. The parking does not necessarily correlate also to the actual use of recreational boats. The United States Coast Guard has data that suggests that on average vessels are only really used 10% of the time. So if you've got a marina with 30 spaces in any day average, three, four boats out at any time, so you don't have 29 boats are not out and back every day. We did work closely with your staff to develop additional language, as I mentioned, that would provide for parking requirements for charter boat services. In conclusion, the Palm Beach County Traffic has determined that the proposed addition does meet the traffic performance standards. Some boat slip improvements have current approvals from South Florida Water Management and Army Corps of Engineers. We are not requesting any variances. The addition is consistent with the village's comprehensive plan, and we do agree to all conditions of approval. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Holloway?
No questions. I just have a couple of comments.
Okay.
My living room does look at the Jib Club, but only kind of the roof right now, but I now will see it. It won't block my view of the water.
No.
And it will be a huge improvement. It's quite rickety looking. So I think the building looks beautiful, perfect in design for what it's for. Currently, my kids eat there every day. They swim up and get their snacks there every day, which I don't happen to have, so I'm thankful for that. But I think it'll be a great improvement. I love the Jib Club. Yeah. So.
Oh, great. That's good to hear.
And I think the parking situation sounds just about right.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Very nice.
Wonderful. And you don't have to put blue shutters.
They are nice.
I won't be able to see it. She will. But I will.
I'll really see it then.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments from the board?
No.
Okay, open for floor, public comments. Meg, any public comments? Okay. Okay, closing the floor. Oh, he's sitting down. Closing the floor to public comments and any other comments for anybody?
Nope, I'll make a motion to approve SPM04- I'll make a recommendation for approval for SPM04-25.
Second.
Okay, so the motion is for to recommend approval.
Yes, that's what I said.
Oh, yes, I'm just make sure everybody knows that. And, okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, and
Dylan's going to hear his
ordinance. Now we do the ordinance.
Would you like me to call the item?
Thank you.
But
you.
We still have the zoning text amendment.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Yes.
Sorry.
Oh, one more.
Better stay. You never know what I might say.
Chair, our next item on the agenda is item number 4. This is the Planning and Zoning Board sitting as a local planning agency to consider ordinance number 0725, which is an ordinance of the Village Council of the Village of Tequesta, Florida, amending Chapter 78 Zoning, Article 10, Off-Street and On-Street Parking and Loading Regulations, Section 78-705, entitled Required Number of Parking Spaces, to modify the number of required spaces for marina uses, providing that each and every other section and subsection of Chapter 78 zoning shall remain in full force and effect as previously adopted, providing a conflicts clause, a separability clause, authority to codify, an effective date, and for other purposes.
So we can give a full presentation on that, or if you feel comfortable enough with the situation, we don't have to have the full presentation about the zoning text amendment. So I'll let you guys decide.
I think I'm comfortable with it. I think I understand.
I don't need a presentation.
No, neither.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Good.
Let me just make sure we open the floor for public comment.
Well, we will.
I did have a question. We don't currently have any charter boats, but is there a potential for a problem with parking if you have a boat that carries 8 people and everybody has a car, the captain has a car, and any...
So that proposed language in there related to charter boats means that if they were to add enough charter boats to the site, they could bring themselves out of compliance with our parking code, and we could actually take code enforcement action and shut down the charter boat operations.
Okay. All right.
There's a possibility that they could have enough parking to handle maybe a charter boat, but we asked them to put that in there just so that it could never get out of control.
Okay.
Our articles and bylaws prohibit charter boats.
There you go.
Okay.
It was just something we put in just to be safe. And remember, this can also apply to other properties in the district. So.
Okay, that was my only concern, was just the potential for...
You covered all of your bases.
Okay.
With that, I'll make a...
Do we open the floor for public comment?
Oh, right. No, we did. Opening the floor for public comments. Marie, if you'll state your name and address again, please, for the record.
Marie Superior, I live in the Country Club. I'm glad you guys approved the application before, but I don't support the zoning change. The applicant doesn't need the zoning change, and they need at most, as my understand it, a variance. Or we could just let the non-conformance continue. Is that correct? Would they necessarily need a variance?
It's a tricky legal case, and we thought the cleanest and safest way was just to do zoning text amendment.
Okay. So I oppose the zoning text amendment because, and I think we should get, if they need a variance, I'd totally be in support of that, and we should give that to them without any, as easily as possible, I think, because I think that would solve their problem without the potential for creating new ones, which the zoning text amendment definitely does. there's a huge risk here in making the code change where it's not necessary, because we do have a parking issue on the barrier island, and this proposal could eventually make that situation even worse, and we should do what we can to avoid that. Parking is an important means for the village to contain development, and this is a top priority for village residents. This has been an issue on numerous projects, not just on the barrier island, but all through, and there's plenty of history that all points to the need for more parking and less building. It would be contrary to what residents and council members have said previously on development issues to change the code in this way. This is not a situation where comparisons to Martin County, Jupiter, North Palm, et cetera, and their code is instructive, because we know there's a parking problem in R3. Buildings that are currently used, the county park for overflow parking, which is completely inappropriate and was avoidable when those buildings were approved. A similar parking problem could easily arise in R2. Martin County also has far more coastline than we do, and so does Jupiter. Martin County and Stewart, however, do have some pretty bad parking problems in their marinas, from what I've personally seen. Accordingly, loosening the parking requirements is not an idea we should pursue. There is, however, a very good reason to leave the parking requirement at 1.5 spaces per slip. Every boat has at least one owner. Owners have friends that visit their boats, and boats, as every boat owner knows well enough, require lots of maintenance. All those people also have cars that need to be parked. We don't have enough parking for the traffic that services some of the residential buildings in R2 and R3 already. So if in the future another marina comes in and puts in only one space per two boats, we could have a big parking problem there in that area, which would significantly diminish the quality of life in those areas. And we don't have to do that to make this project go forward. So I highly recommend that we not make this zoning text amendment and pursue the variance, if it's even necessary, which if it's not, I think that's the way to go.
Thank you. Any further comments?
No.
Okay. We're all ready?
Yes.
Yep. I will make a motion to approve ordinance 0725.
I'll second it. Okay, and we're making a recommendation to approve.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Any other comments?
So I just have a quick staff update to give. I don't know how much.
Sorry, what did you say?
I have a quick staff update to give. I don't know what you thought I said, but I'm nervous.
I'm having a hard time hearing tonight, so go ahead.
So I don't know how much everyone paid attention to the last legislative session in Florida, but the state government did a lot, and they went a little further than they normally do. Mm-hmm. So they adopted, there's a whole list of things that Keith Davis gave an update to council on at the last meeting, but one that's really relevant to this board is Senate Bill 180. So the state basically created a bill that says that local governments in areas affected by the hurricanes a few years ago cannot enact any new land development regulations, comprehensive plan regulations that are more restrictive than they currently have until October of 2027. But maybe the worst part for us is that they backdated it to August of 2024.
Oh, wait a second.
So
all of that stuff that we did,
so that's one. That means the zoning overlays that were adopted and the living shorelines code that were adopted are possibly null and void. We're going to be workshopping it with the village council at our September 2nd meeting. And we still, I've got to talk to Dylan and Keith Davis about whether we would just repeal those ordinances. Cause there are some elements of them that aren't more restrictive, not much. I mean, you're not left with much, but there's a possibility that we can just repeal the portions that are more restrictive. Or we might have to just repeal the whole thing and come back and do a new ordinance with the small pieces that would be compliant with this new thing. I will say, in my 15 years in this profession, I've never seen more blowback about the state's overreach. And so there's going to be, I think, some possible battles and legal challenges related to it. I serve on the League of Cities Redevelopment and Planning Committee, and we're going to meet in about a month or two, and I anticipate possible legal challenges to it. So we'll see what happens to that.
I'm pretty sure the Florida League of Cities will definitely do that. And I mean, and especially targeting areas along the shoreline with, you know, her. God bless them.
Well, it covers the entire state, right? So they use the guise of hurricanes, but it's the entire state of Florida.
And there was also one about the artificial turf that they're going to be controlled what happens, not the municipalities.
The state is preempting our ability to regulate artificial turf on single family homes. And I know. And they are going to create their own standards. The DEP is going to create their own standards, and everyone is going to have to essentially adopt those. Yes. Hopefully they will at least require the artificial turf to be pervious and maybe environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. I think there's some hope that they will at least create some somewhat environmentally reasonable restrictions there. But that's going to be a big problem. We're going to have to repeal our artificial turf ordinance that was adopted, I think, 2 years ago. It does not apply in the right-of-ways, though, right? So if you see, or if your neighbors are asking about planting in the right-of-way, they will not be able to do that. So we will be able to maintain our soil system. It's a challenge. Yes.
And it will not affect commercial.
I believe the state's preemption is only for single family lots under an acre, maybe? Is that correct? Under an acre, yep.
And what about, I mean, because we've got that one, it's right next to CVS. They have artificial turf in the front. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see. Wasn't
that's
also
commercial.
We had approved Chipotle, which of course is not going to be, had artificial turf also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was just curious about that. I almost brought it up, but now we don't have to talk about that.
I have a question on that, if I can. We still have the 10% ordinance of things that are not living. So how does that? So I actually think you cannot in the village still have a front yard full of artificial turf unless it's less than 10% of the open space.
We don't know what the state's going to say.
Well, that isn't a regulation of artificial turf. That's a regulation of non-living landscape materials. So I think we actually are still protected.
That's interesting. I will talk to Dylan and Keith about that one.
I feel like I think that it's totally defensible that we don't want people paving over their front yards either.
Yeah.
So our non-living landscape is not a regulation of the artificial turf. It's a regulation of impervious surfaces here, and it needs to be alive. I think we're fine, actually, vis-a-vis having large expanses of artificial turf.
That is a very tricky interpretation.
So actually, it was the interpretation that we've gone with for a very long time until people started not applying that. I mean, that had been the interpretation years and years ago.
No, I just mean in terms of artificial turf.
Well, the state said regulation of artificial turf, correct?
Correct, but because it's technically a non-living thing, the state, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think regulations are basically saying that no matter what language a municipality uses, you can't prohibit the placement of artificial turf.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that
I'll talk to Keith about that.
I think we should be leaning on our 10% requirement here, because we wouldn't want things that are not artificial turf being used in large quantities either, and that's the whole point of that. I mean, that statute was directed at that.
Sure.
Right, so.
Thank you.
So I didn't realize before, so the mobility plan, you guys were asking for comments. I didn't know to add this comment. where the specialty school pickups are behind Perk, like where Bach and Dreyfus do pickups, it'd be great if there could be like a bike rack anywhere near there for kids who don't live close by. I don't know if anyone added that, but that's come to my attention the last couple weeks.
That's
there's
a good idea.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about retrofitting with mobility stations, I think they're calling them. But I don't know if that specific one was identified, but I will take that and see if we can work it into there. We're going to be moving forward with a draft plan pretty soon. I will try and take a draft of it to you guys. It's 209. The current draft is 209 pages.
How many?
209 pages.
Well, can you give it to us ahead of time?
I would give it to you well ahead of time.
A bedtime reading?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a really cool plan. I will, when it gets ready for public consumption, I'll send it to you.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We're adjourned.